Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. In taking a look at today's first reading, I think you can begin to see what the early church was up against, and just even in some very practical, but much more so, very spiritual ways. He's speaking to them about their conduct when the people gather together. Let's just read the first reading, and then I'll have some comments to make. This is Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 17 to 26, and then verse 33. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 26, and then 33. I often repeat the verses before I read them because I want to give you a chance to open the scripture if you possibly can. And I know sometimes the translations are different, but you have the same meaning. Sometimes both hearing the word and having gazing your eyes upon the word, when the word is coming to you through two senses, you have a much better opportunity of actually taking it in. So often we hear the word of God and it just kind of goes by us because we're not fully paying attention. So sometimes by both listening and reading at the same time, we can make ourselves more attentive to the word itself. Brothers and sisters, in giving this instruction, I do not praise the fact that your meetings are doing more harm than good. First of all, I hear that when you meet as a church, there are divisions among you, and to a degree, I believe it. There have to be factions among you in order that also those who are approved among you may become known. When you meet in one place, then it is not to eat the Lord's supper, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own supper. One goes hungry while another gets drunk. Do you not have houses in which you can eat and drink? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and make those who have nothing feel ashamed? What can I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this matter, I do not praise you. So there's a lot of disorder and confusion. And he's speaking not only about what they're doing, but about the fact that they're not really taking into account at all what they're receiving. Brothers and sisters, we may not have this kind of chaos, but how many times do we come to Mass and we talk with people beforehand, but then when we come into the church, do we really recognize where we are? Do we take time the few minutes before Mass begins to give God all the glory and all the honor, to recollect ourselves, to prepare ourselves, because this meal is like no other? That you are so loved that God gives himself to feed you. And that's true. Are you living out of that? And when Mass is over, sometimes I know we've got small children or there are other needs, we have to just run. But what about after Mass, turning around to people near you and say, is there anything I can pray for you this week? Is there anything that you're concerned about that I could pray for? Maybe looking around and saying, we haven't seen those people in a long time, perhaps a married couple. Could we invite them to breakfast? In other words, get your eyes off yourself and ask the Lord, what does the Lord want of me at this time? Sometimes I've got many small children and all I can do is handle that. That's fine. That's your first responsibility. But when you don't have all those kinds of responsibilities, are you looking outward? Are you seeking to serve the needs of your brothers and sisters around you, or at least to help in that process? How blessed God is when he sees that we are nourished on his body and blood, and then that we in turn pour out upon others the graces that we have received. Paul goes on to say, for I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Until he comes. And then he becomes very practical again. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another." This is not a free-for-all. As we come into the liturgy of the Eucharist, we should, as far as we possibly can, be of one mind and one heart, bringing our burdens and others' burdens right as we go into Mass, bringing them to the Lord at the offertory. How often do you turn to another? I know we're rushing. I know all of that. So I'm not trying to ask you to do something that's totally outlandish because you can't possibly reasonably do it. But there are many times when we might be coming into Mass that we're either by ourselves or we have a little time on our hands. Surprisingly, sometimes that happens. And the first thing we should be saying is, "Lord, cleanse me of my sin. Help me to receive you today." That not only nourishes me, but enables me then to give to others. But it's also important to say, "Lord, to whom do you want me to speak today?" And just ask, "Is there someone here, Lord, that I could help today?" Just say that to the Lord. You'd be surprised. Either somebody will walk into your midst, or you'll sense that you ought to go over to a particular person, or you just get into conversation with somebody and find out what their need is. But don't be, as someone once said, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. When we're focused on the unholy trinity, we can't possibly reach out with all the gifts we're receiving, give them away, because we don't even think that way. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, I urge you to see yourself, first of all, as a son or daughter of God, and then secondly, a disciple of the Son, the Lord Jesus. I am the Lord's disciple. I am the Father's daughter or son. I am the Lord's disciple. Lord, here I am. Do with me what you want. Let me receive all that you want to give me, and then enable me to give that away. Proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again. Psalm 40. Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. In other words, what God is most looking for is our heart and our will, and our spirit to see ourselves as committed disciples. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Notice it isn't within my head. It certainly is there. God's law is certainly in our head. But look at what that says. Your law is within my heart. Is God's law in your heart as well as in your mind? Is it what inspires you, guides you, challenges you, strengthens you? Is God's law in your heart? I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. I said what was true. I defend you in a certain sense. I proclaim the gospel through my life daily. I pray that I may do that. That should be our prayer. That what we have received, the infinite treasures that we have received through the liturgy, give them away. Pour them out on others. The insight, the grace, the new hope, or new faith, or the new willingness to forgive, to love. Store those in your heart. Thank God for them and ask God to help you to use them in the lives of others, to strengthen, to encourage, to inspire, to support others. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. May all who seek you exult and be glad in you, and may those who love your salvation say ever, the Lord be glorified by what I think, by what I say, by what I do. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished all his words to the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave who was ill and about to die, and he was valuable to him. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. Now, he's a centurion, so he has a little power. He could have just discarded his slave, not useful to me anymore. But he didn't do that. He sent elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and save the life of his slave. They approached Jesus and strongly urged him to come, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he built the synagogue for us." So he's not a Jew, but he's been good to us. And Jesus went with them. But when he was only a short distance from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed." Do you see the faith of this pagan? He believes him. He believes that Jesus is who he says he is. And he says, "Don't trouble yourself. You don't have to come. You don't have to come into my house. All you have to do is say the word." And he says, "I say to one, go," and he goes to another, "Come here," and he comes to my slave, "Do this," and he does it. So if I can do that, could you do that for me, for my slave? And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning, said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel, not among all the Jews, not even in Israel have I found such faith." Lord, you don't need to come. I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. All you have to do is say the word for my servant. Will you do that? That's faith. That's real faith. At what level is our faith? How deeply do we trust God to know us through and through better than we know ourselves? Do we trust him that he knows what really is best for us, but he does hear our word, he does hear our prayer. He doesn't discard it, he doesn't ignore it. He wants to use whatever our prayer is to bring great good to us and to those we love. Trust him, trust his timing. Keep seeking him for what his will is. Not what your will is, but what his will is. And God will hear and answer. When Jesus heard this, that is what the centurion's faith expressed. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turning said to the crowd following him, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." How blessed Jesus was to see the faith of someone who was not a Jew. And when the messengers returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. God has your best interests at heart. Pray, ask him for what you think you need, but pray and trust him. God bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.